الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. The topic of our lesson today is about Ghuraba. Okay, inshallah, what I will do, I will just talk about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the Ghuraba in our own present time, and then I'll conclude by giving some advices to myself and my brothers and sisters, inshallah. As you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to what is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari in his book Sahih, he explained taking from one of the companions the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first experienced the first revelation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be isolated in a place. He used to go to the cave of Hira to practice the meditation and thinking, also contemplating the situation found within the area where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. So he used to go there and think, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, till the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to him Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. As you know, Jibreel alayhi salam went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to read. He said, "I don't know how to read." He squeezed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he folded him, he said, "I thought my two shoulders, they are going to meet each other." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "I found myself into very strong hardship and difficulty. I couldn't get rid of the situation. He has to take what Jibreel is doing." So Jibreel asked him to read. He said, "I don't know how to read." He squeezed him again. He asked him to read three times, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "I don't know how to read." And then he gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ ربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. And then Jibreel disappeared. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ran back to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking her to cover him, and he told her what happened. So she said, "Such a person like you, who has these kind of qualities that she has mentioned," she mentioned around five qualities or more than that. She said, "Person like this can never be possessed by a jinn, or problem like what you were thinking could happen to him. So don't worry, nothing bad is going to happen to you." She took the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to her cousin, Waraka ibn Nawfal ibn Abdul Aziz, who was a Christian, Arab, but he converted to Christianity among the few Arabs. Because in the Arabian Peninsula, you find different types of religion. Some of them, they are worshipping idols, is the main religion there. Surrounding Kaaba, you have around 360 idols. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam destroyed them all of them when he conquered Damascus. So mainly they are worshipping idols, and some of them they are worshipping just images, some of them worshipping jinn, some of them nothing. Some of them they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on the religion of Hanifiyya, the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. If you can remember, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sa'id ibn Zayd, one of the 10 blessed companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to paradise. His father Zayd ibn Amir or Zayd ibn Amr, he used to be one of those people who believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want someone to worship him through the idols. So they try to trace back the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using the religion. That's why in some narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this person is going to be resurrected on the last day alone. Because he used to be chased away. So he used to be among the Ghuraba before even Islam, the religion that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote exists in Makkah. He used to be wali, because he used to be chased by one of his relatives, Khattab, the father of Umar radiallahu anhu. He was very harsh to him. Why? Just because he rejected idol worshipping. So that's why the community rejected him. So he's like one nation by himself. Because as long as you're holding upon the truth, you are the only nation in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why you can see in Surah Al-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he called Ibrahim, Sayyidina, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً وَعَلَيْتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفٌ وَلَمْ يَكُمْ يَرْمُشْرِكِينَ. Ibrahim is just like a nation by himself. Yeah. Because there was a time Ibrahim was in a place where there is no Muslim except Ibrahim and his wife. Can you imagine this? You're living in a country, the only Muslim, the only person who is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is you and your wife, or you and your husband alone. What kind of tension are you going to be in? Everyone is just like your enemy looking at you. You can do nothing. So Ibrahim used to be among them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him nation, standing by itself. Although he's alone, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he's nation. Because being nation in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means the one who is holding upon the truth. So, his father used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are a few of them who adopted the religion of Christianity. They're looking for the truth. Just look at it. How can I just build something, make some images and come and bow to him? It doesn't work like this. Some people, they still have their own intellect and mentality. They use their own common sense. I can create something made by food or something else, and then I just come and bow to him and worship him and ask him to give me something. They asked one of them, they said, "Kam ilahan ta'bud?" How many idols you worship? How many Allahs you have? He said, 6. Already, see, 5 on earth and 1 in the heaven. MashaAllah. Even those days before Islam, they believed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala naturally cannot be here. He is above his creation. He said, 1 in the heaven. So they asked him, they said, "Which one you have big hope in solving all of your problems?" He said, "The one in the heaven." That's how when they go in the sea, they found themselves into trouble. They throw away all of the idols and they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them to the land, and then they'll bring back the idols. So some people, as I said, they still use their own common sense to know that these things can never be Allah. And actually, we are even better than them. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, if you take another narration, which is authentic, also mutawatir, but authentic. إِنِ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ إِنِ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. The authentic narration is, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. إن الذين تدعون من دون الله عباد أمثالكم. The other one, which is authentic but not متواتر, it says إن الذين تدعون من دون الله عبادا أمثالكم. The first one عباد, and the second one عباد. If you look at the definition and the commentary of the second one, that's why Muhammad Amin Shaqiri said, whenever you find a narration saying that this is Quran, but it is not متواتر. متواتر is something which is narrated by a large amount of people. But it is authentic, based on chain of narrators, it is authentic to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said this narration should be used, must be applied to give more explanation on something which is mutawatir. So we have another one which is mutawatir, and we have another one authentic. So we don't use it to read in our own prayer, but we take it as explanation to something which is mutawatir. This verse says, إِنِ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the first one, the one that you are worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are just like you. The equality is there. They're just like us. But the second one, which is authentic but not mutawatir, is stronger than this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, how can you even worship something which is not even like you? You are even better than him. How can you lower yourself? Because those things that you're worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not even like you. You are bigger than them in terms of position. and value. How can you come down and worship some people? So as I said, some of them, they still use their own intellect and common sense to know that these items and objects, they don't have any quality of divinity. Therefore, they don't worship them at all. And some of them, they take the religion of Christianity. One of them is Waraka, even Nofa ibn Abd al-Uzza. He was a righteous Christian. He used to translate the Bible from Ibraniya to Arabic language so that people, they can benefit from it. So when Khadija introduced the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Waraka asked him, he said, okay, tell me, what did you see? He told Waraka that he saw this and that. Waraka quickly told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's good news for you, because this is Namus that came to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, human angel Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who went to Musa, is same thing also Allah SWT sent to you, alhamdulillah. So he was the first person to explain to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the nature of his job by saying to him what? He said, your people, they are going to chase you out of this place. Yeah. So he explained to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you're going to be what? Stranger in this place. He said, your people, they are going to chase you out of this place. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is known among the Meccan to be the best among them in terms of attitude. Although he is not the leader, but he is the best in terms of attitude. Because he never lied in his life. He never betrayed a man. He never deceived. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never broke promise in his life. Which if you go down the street, it's very difficult to find someone who is having these qualities. It's almost impossible. So, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Waraka told him that they are going to chase you away from this place. He was surprised. What is this? What did I do to them? How can they chase me from this place? And then Waraka told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, there was no one who brought what you are going to bring now, except those people, I mean his people, they hate him. Whoever brought what you are going to bring now, you will definitely find his people hating him. This is the nature of the truth. So he told the Prophet Sallallahu, get ready. These people, they are going to take you away, they are going to hate you and take you away from your place. Why? He said, because you are going to bring to them something in which whenever someone brings something like it, the people, they are going to hate him. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from now on, he knows that he is going to be what? A stranger in the society, almost living alone. Because Waraka told him that you're going to be hated by your own people. So Waraka ibn Nawfal, he told the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala could give me permission to live longer, till I see the time your people, they are going to hate you, and till I see the time Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is going to send you people, I will be the first person to accept you. But he died before then. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in an authentic narration, he said, I saw him go into paradise. So I wanted to take, the result. You can see those people, the way they were. Waraka is a stranger. And Zayd ibn Amir was a stranger. And look at the result, the consequence. Although there is no something, they base their own religion on it. With the exception of Waraka, he is using the Injil. But still, the consequence of that nature of being a stranger was what? Was paradise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then this is how it started. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he started waiting to see. Since now, Waraka told him that this is good news for you. So he started waiting for a time that he will receive Jibreel. He's afraid of Jibreel, but still he wants to see him again. Yeah. So he said one day, it's like 3 months. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he was just walking, and then he said, I heard some voices from up talking to me. As-salamu alayka ya Muhammad, ya Rasulullah. And then I look up, he said, I saw Jibreel sitting on a chair, bayna as-samai wal-ard. Imagine the chair was just placed on air, nothing in the chair. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِذَا الْمَلَكُ الَّذِي جَاءَنِ بِحِرَىٰ جَالِسٌ عَلَىٰ كُرْسِيٌ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He said, I saw the angel that came to me in Hira, in the cave of Hira, sitting on a chair between the heavens and the earth. So what did the Prophet do? Run. He was looking for him, and now he came, and the Prophet he ran. So he went back to Khadija. It's naturally. Normally people, they are like this. When you're afraid of something, you go in the room and lock yourself, putting yourself into more trouble, because you're just telling him, okay, come and get me here. It's better for you to keep on running in an open place, non-stop. at all. So the Prophet ﷺ, he went back, he asked Khadija to cover him. She covered him, Jibreel followed him in the house. He said to him, Ya ayyuhal muddathir kum fa'andir. Allahu Akbar. And this is one of the greatest lessons we learn from the attitude of the Prophet ﷺ, I mean in terms of da'wah. They said from the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet ﷺ this verse, he never rest at all till he passed away. 24 hours. A very strong tool of da'wah, 24 hours, non-stop. So this is the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that he is a messenger. So the first verses, the five verses, they are to inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was a prophet. And the second one of Surah, so that's means Surah Al-Alaq, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knows by the revelation of Surah Al-Alaq that he was a prophet. Because you can't be a messenger before you be the prophet. So you have two things here. You have 124,000 prophets and messengers, and among them you take out 313. These are the messengers. So these messengers, they are some special people above the quality of prophets. So the Prophet ﷺ, he became a prophet when Allah SWT revealed to him Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra bismi rabbika khalaq. And he became a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Ya ayyuhal muddathir was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. So from that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the fear from his heart and asked him to wake up. The time for sleeping is over. Go remind people and warn them from what is coming in the future, which is the last day and the day of judgment. So as I said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never rest. So and then he started preaching. This is the time the journey of Islam begin. I mean, the Islam during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it begins from here. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started preaching da'wah. The first person to accept Islam was who? Khadija. Yeah. Some people they said Ali, some people they said Abu Bakr, some people they said Zayd, some people they said who? Khadija. So we have either Ali or Abu Bakr or Zayd or Khadija. Abu Bakr, Ali, Zayd, Khadija. We have four. Some scholars they said no need to argue. Obviously, you know, the Prophet ﷺ got the first revelation, I mean, the one that he knows that he was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the presence of Aisha, Khadija radiallahu anha. So that means, obviously, if he's going to start preaching Islam, the first person to accept is Khadija. So we make it like this. The first person among the women to accept Islam was Khadija. And the second one was, I mean, the first person among the adults was Abu Bakr, and the first one among the young people, the youth, was Ali radiallahu anhu. And when we talk about the slaves, it was Zayd ibn Haritha, the adopted son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first people to become strangers, because as soon as they accept Islam, the hatred began. Whoever knows started hating them, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to bring something new. And the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in secret. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never exposed the da'wah. Why did he expose it? Because the society is not ready for it. And Waraka told him that if you are to expose your da'wah, people, they are going to hate you. Just by you becoming a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nature of the attitude of people towards you is going to be negative. So that's why the da'wah, it was in secret. Whoever announces Islam is going to be punished. That is something they used to take, and that was their own protection. Inshallah, we'll talk about it. So what I will be doing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after giving those four people accepting Islam, and then he started expanding, and each and every one of them within his own limit, he started also conveying the message to others. You have Abu Bakr, from day one he accepted Islam, he moved around 4 out of 10 of those people who are going to paradise, confirmed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr was the reason why they converted to Islam. So you can say that all of the good deed of Uthman radiallahu anhu goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. All of the good deed of Abu Bakr, of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, goes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and others. They were the good deed of Abu Bakr, because from the time he converted to Islam, he believed that this type of good thing and good religion should be shared with others. So they started preaching Islam, as I said, in secret. Why? Because you can't make it openly. You can't invite people in public, or else you're going to be in trouble. So that's why during that, I mean, preaching Islam, a man by the name Jundub ibn Junada. Who knows Jundub ibn Junada? Who knows? Really? I believe everyone here knows him. Yeah, seriously. If I say it, you're going to say, how come?
What is the question?
The question is, who knows Jundub ibn Junada? Or you just say it like one of my students, who is Abu Dawood? This is the example. It means like you talk in detail. He said, Abu Dawood is one of the Muslims. So you also just say one of the Muslims and ask. Okay, Jundub ibn Junada is Abu Dhar al-Ghifari. Who doesn't know Abu Dhar? Abu Dhar al-Ghifari. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, during the secret da'wah, when the Prophet was making everything in secret, he talked to his brother, Unais or Anas. He said, I was told that something is going on in Makkah. Someone is bringing new religion to the Arabs. So if you can go and check for us, who is this person and what is he calling for? He said, go check, I will take care of the family. Anas went. He did his own search, his research, he found some information about the Prophet. He came back to Abu Dhar. In short, he told him that I met him, he's like this and that. He said, Allah, it's not enough for me. I need to go myself and do the searching. So he went. Anas is supposed to take care of the family, and he went. But the problem is, he knows, because Anas told him that you have to be very, very careful. Because the Meccans, they hate him. Whoever is known to be a Muslim, either he's going to be killed or the people, they will punish him. So Abu Dhar went, and he went to Kaaba. Next to Kaaba, he sat down. He refused to ask anyone. Because if you know, maybe you ask someone about the Prophet, and then it will be Abu Jahl. You'll be in trouble. So he has to keep quiet till something happened, some miracles. So he was sitting down in a place till the evening before Maghrib. And then Ali ibn Abi Talib came. He looked at him. He said, you look like a stranger. You're not from this place. Are you looking for someone? He said, yes, but I will never tell till you promise me that you will never do something to me. He said, no problem, don't worry. He said, I'm looking for the one who is claiming that he's the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, okay, no problem, I will take you to him. So what we should do, I will just go for in front of you, and then you just follow me. If I see something that I have doubt, something bad, I will just go, and you behind me pretend that you're picking up something from the ground. It's like you're not with me. This is how they went. They reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to some narration, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Although he was a kafir, but naturally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him to say this salam. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He found what he wanted. He accepted Islam. He accepted Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at him. He said, Abu Dhar, you just go back and preach Islam to your people. He said, no, I don't think there is any need. Since we believe that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the good, is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do we need to make it secret? It has to be opened. So Abu Dhar went. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned him, don't go, the time is not yet. I mean, the community is not ready to take this. Just be patient, don't go to them. He went out. He said, I have to go. Muslim has to be patient and go do jihad. So he went to the people. Where did he go? He went to Kaaba, where the leaders of the Meccans, they exist. They were there in their own clubs talking. So he went to them in the middle of those people. He screamed, he shouted, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. They came to him at once. So they kept on beating him. But alhamdulillah, he came from a tribe who would never forgive. I mean, if you do something wrong to this tribe, that means they're going to take revenge, no matter how the situation is going to be. So they were beating him. They were almost killing him. Then Abbas came. He looked at his face. He found that this person is coming from the tribe of Ghir. Look at them. He said, people, are you crazy? You know who you're beating? They said, no, who is this? He told them that, wallahi, this person died. That means you will die in Makkah without food. Because whenever you take your caravan to Syria, you have to pass through them, and they will never let you pass. They will kill you all and take the food. So they say, okay, no problem. We just let him go. He went to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "You see, this is what I told you." He said, "Prophet, I'm going tomorrow." He went tomorrow, they did the same thing to him. Abbas came and he warned them, they stopped. He went back to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, "Prophet, I'm doing it tomorrow also." What kind of heart he has? Allah Alam. But these are the real strangers, and they know what being stranger means. That's why they survive. Ibn Hazm said, "If you expect something bad to happen to you, when the thing comes, it will be easy for you to accept it." You are expecting when you come to UAE, someone is going to give you 6 billion ringgit. You came to him and he said, "I'm sorry, Allah, I have only 6 ringgit. How are you going to be? Already planned, you told your wife, mashallah, don't worry, I'll buy for you aeroplane." So he came to UAE and then he found nothing. But if someone promises you something and you have in your mind that this guy, he's telling me that he's giving me this, I don't think so. So you went to UAE, maybe, but most likely I will never get something. When you come to him and he said, "I have nothing," it's just normal for you. So this is the nature of being a stranger. You have to expect this. That's why Waraka told the Prophet ﷺ, put in your mind that this is what is going to happen to you, so that the Prophet ﷺ will be ready for it. Because if you're not ready for something when it comes, it will be very difficult for you to accept. So this is the first person, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, and look at what happened to this man. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, and he was one of the best and righteous companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look at the result. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this person, he passed away. He used to live a very strong ascetic life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he said to Abu Dharr, he said, "Abu Dharr, what happened if people, they disturb you?" He said, "No problem, I'll just pull out my sword, get anyone who talk to me in the way I don't want." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No, calm down. If they disturb you, they ask you to move and leave the place, just leave the place." During the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, he has his own idea. He said, "If you have money, you're not allowed after taking what is enough for you to keep it with you. You have to bring it out and give it to the people. Who is going to accept this from the rich people? And if someone strive harder, do all kinds of effort to do things in a way, he can survive and get all of the money, and then in the end, he has to just take what is sufficient for him and give the rest to the poor people. It's good, but who is going to take this? No one." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, did not even say this. But Abu Dharr, he was translating one of the verses found in Surah At-Tawbah. الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ الَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يَفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So he said, kanz that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here is to, more than what is enough for you. You have 10 ringgit and you only need 2 ringgit. You just take 2 ringgit and take 8 and give it to others. If you keep 8 with you, this is kanz that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, and you will go to hell because of it. Who has this understanding? No one. This is his own understanding. So, problem between Abu Dharr and the rich people, because they don't accept this. No one is going to work. The poor people, they will just sleep in the house. You go work and earn everything and come and share with them. You must do it. No one said this. So Uthman asked him, he said, why can't you move, since everyday problem between you and others? He said, "No problem. Where do you want me to go?" He said, "Rabada." Rabada is a village. In those days, village is not like one community found in one place. You just see one house here and another one there, like this. So Abu Dharr was living there with his wife. Till the time death approached him, his wife was looking at him. She cried. She said to him, this is the result of being impatient. You're supposed to be patient with the people. Now you're going to die, you pass away, and then I'm alone here in this place. Who is going to wash you? Who is going to do this and that? What can I do? If you're patient, we stay in the city with the people there. That was better for us." Abu Dharr was looking at her, because those people, they believe in something which is accepting everything from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believing in it. We have doubt. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something, we say maybe it will happen. But those companions, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something, they will believe in it 100% without having any doubt. So he looked at her. He said when she finished, he said, "I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, 'Rahim Allahu Abu Dharr.' May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy upon Abu Dharr. يعيش وحده. He is going to live alone. ويموت وحده. And he is going to die alone. ويدفنه رجال من المسلمين. And a group of Muslims they are going to bury me. He said this, he passed away. She was crying. So we see the murders of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He lived alone. Because he and his family just alone. He lived alone and he's dying alone. Because the community, the people, the environment did not reach that place. So he's going to die. He died alone. So now we're waiting for the last one. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said a group of righteous people among the Muslims, they will come and bury. So who came? The wife, she was sitting down there crying, not knowing what to do. And then she heard some voices. And then she went out, she found Abdullah ibn Mas'ud with his companions. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Imam al-Dhahabi, was saying that all of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, they were righteous people. I never heard something like this. To look at a scholar and say that all of his students, they were righteous people. What kind of blessings is this? And he is the person that even the companions of the Prophet, when they're talking about knowledge, they said if you need knowledge, although he is very young, but they said if you're looking for knowledge, go to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, one of the companions of the Prophet, and the Prophet, he said, Mu'adh, yub'ath amama ulama bi-ratwa. On the last day, Mu'adh is going to be resurrected by Allah in front of all of the scholars with the distance of ratwa. Ratwa means as far as you can see. If you make the earth flat, the last part of the earth that your eyes can reach, this is the distance, the gap between Mu'adh ibn Jabal and the rest of the scholars of this ummah. You can imagine how big is the knowledge of this person. But still, when they asked him before he died, they said, Mu'adh, after you die, who do you advise us to go and see? He said, go to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So this is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Among his students, it was Rabi ibn Khuthaym, Malik ibn Dinar. Rabi ibn Khuthaym, the slave of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, she thought Rabi' was a blind person. He used to always come to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He knocked on the door and the slave, she would come out. When she came out, she never saw his eyes at all. Always on the ground, and it's like the eyes are closed. Yeah. This is how they go. They don't look at everything. So she used to go back and tell Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, your blind friend is waiting for you outside. And then he would look at her and say, no, he wasn't blind. He can see, but he doesn't want to look at you. Malik bin Dinar, he was very righteous scholars. He was sitting down one day in his house. A thief came to the house by mistake. Because what do you expect in the house of these kind of people? By mistake, he went into the house of Malik bin Dinar. He was searching to find something. He couldn't find a single cent. Nothing in the house. So he went. He decided to go out. So when he was going out, Malik ibn Dinar said to him, brother, mashallah, if you see thief in your house, what are you going to do? If the thief is going out, you will say what? Alhamdulillah, masala. No, you masala. So look at him and say, brother, since you couldn't find anything about dunya that you came looking for, do you have any interest in akhirah? Look at him, he felt shy. He said, yes. He said, okay, come. Took him, he went, he showed him how to make wudu with him, and he take him to the masjid, he prayed rakatin, and then he said, okay, masalam. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he buried Abu Dharr. What I was trying to say is like, look at the way Allah SWT completed the life of this person in the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesied. And this is the nature of all the ghuraba that we're going to see, inshallah, in the end of this lesson. One of the examples also, the examples of Bilal and Khabbab. But before then, we have the first woman, according to the history, who passed away. Sumayya and her husband, Yasir, they punished them. Abu Jahl killed them. Just because of Islam, they killed the woman and they killed the father. According to some stories also, it says that the father was tied with the horse from two parts. I mean, they tie his hand, the other hand, and they put with one horse, and the other one horse, they broke him into pieces. This is how they killed him. Why? Because he accepted Islam. And his mother also knew her in a bad way. Ammar was watching all of these things. So they asked him to say something bad about Islam and the Prophet ﷺ. And he said it to save his life. Allah SWT revealed verse in the Quran saying that what Ammar did was okay. If you are in that situation, you can say something bad as long as your heart is full of Iman. And Ammar, you can see, is one of the strongest strangers. He never changes religion. He never say to Allah SWT, because of you, I lost my my family, so I will never be with you again. You know, he maintained his religion. And in fact, he went back to the Prophet ﷺ crying. Doesn't know what to do for what he said. He thought he's going to be in trouble because of that. Then the Prophet ﷺ told him that it is okay. And you can see the result of Ammar. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ammar taqtulhu fi'atul baghiya. The people who rebel against the Sultan, the leader, they're going to kill Ammar. And he said also, Bashir qatil Ammar bin Nar. Whoever kills Ammar, give him good news that he's going to hell. Whoever kill Ammar, give him good news that he's going to go to hell. And the one who killed Ammar is known. So this is Ammar ibn Yasir. And this is one of the reasons why we know that Ali ibn Abi Talib, during the fighting between him and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, both of them, they are two great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied the event that is going to happen. He said, it is going to happen, a fighting between Ali and Muawiyah. He did not mention name, but he said, Ali is going to be closer to the truth during those days. And we know that both of them are companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we can't say nothing. Because you cannot say something on someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm pleased with him. I mean, the companions, all of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, radiallahu anhum wa radhuan, I'm happy with them, and I'm pleased with them, and they're pleased with me. So who is someone today come and curse Muawiyah because he fought Ali radiallahu anhum? Both of them are looking for the truth. We believe Ali got two rewards and Muawiyah get one reward, but no sin with any one of them, inshallah. But the sin is going to be in this ummah if you dare to talk against one of them. That's why the scholars, they said, this is trial and the tragedy that happened, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not show us this. Alhamdulillah, we did not participate with our own souls and weapons. So he said, we have to close our mouth. We shouldn't talk against anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for wisdom, he did not show you the event. Say, you should say Alhamdulillah and praise all of them and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive any one of them, and don't make any comment. So Ammar was killed in that place. What I was trying, the point that I wanted to pay attention is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Ammar, which is the result of his own dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the early days of Islam. The last two examples I will give is the example of Khabbab. Khabbab, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one day he was asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because the punishment is too harsh. Because these people, they boycotted the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. Stopped selling them food and everything. They hated them. They chased them away from their houses. Mus'ab ibn Umayr was chased out. Suhayb ibn Rumi. All of those companions who used to be rich, their parents, they used to be extremely rich. They were chased away from their own houses. Why? Because they accepted the Prophet ﷺ. This is how the history. The persecution was so high. Even the Prophet ﷺ, he wasn't saved. Yeah, when Khadija passed away and his uncle Abu Talib passed away, the punishment was high. They never touched the Prophet until the death of Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija, she passed away because she used to protect the Prophet financially. If the physical parents cannot help, cash will do the job. Yeah, whenever you can do something, if you have something in your pocket, just open it. Nothing will happen to you. So Khadija used to stop those criminals from punishing the Prophet, from reaching the Prophet by her wealth. And Abu Talib, he used to stop them by his own position. He's the leader of Makkah, so they couldn't reach him. He told the Prophet, Wallahi, don't worry, they will never reach you as long as I'm alive. The time you see one of them touching you, that means I pass away. And this is what happened. They never reached the Prophet until then. To the Prophet, they poured some kind of dirty stuff on his back. The Prophet ﷺ was making sujood. Imagine the closest time the Prophet ﷺ, a human being, a Muslim, is with Allah. This is the closest time you are with Allah. And this is the time someone is trying to disturb you. They put this kind of najasa on the back of the Prophet ﷺ. And the companions, they were crying, everyone. Because at that moment, no one can touch it. If you touch it, that means you agree to go. But alhamdulillah, they have one attitude. They don't want to fight women. So Fatima, she came. She removed it, she cried, no one do anything to her. The Prophet ﷺ, he finished his prayer, he raised up his hand. He made dua. Look at the mentality. They believe that the Prophet ﷺ is the Prophet of Allah, but just because of dunya, they don't want to accept him. When he raised up his hand, he made dua against those criminals. And all of them, they were killed during the Battle of Badr. All of them except one. That's why as soon as he made the dua, they came to him quickly. They said, what is this, Muhammad? You understand this cancel. the dua. So this is the nature, the situation in Makkah during the early days of Islam. So Khabbab was asking the Prophet ﷺ to ask Allah ﷻ to do something. The Prophet ﷺ was very angry. He said, you have to be patient. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the nations that came before us. He said, وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shaked them. And they were very weak. And the punishment was so high. They were shaked by the situation. Till the time even the Prophet would start saying, when did the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming? The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when is it going to come? You don't reach this situation yet, the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, wallahi, some of them, they used to slaughter them just to change the religion and they will never. Some of them, they used to put saw and cut him into four pieces, asking him to change his religion, they will never change their religion. He said, wallahi, whether you like it or you don't like it, you will see the time, the woman is going to travel from this place to that place and no one is going to touch her at all. The peace is going to be all over the place. He said, don't worry. He said, you are just hastening things before their own appointed time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to bring them. This person, during the time of Umar, they were sitting down with Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar looked at Bilal, he said, if there is someone who is supposed to be our leader, it's Bilal. Because everyone knows how Bilal was punished in Makkah. Everyone knows. So Umar said, if there is someone who is supposed to be our leader, it's Bilal. So Khabbab was listening. He did not say anything. He said, Umar, just because people didn't talk, that's why everyone, thought that Bilal was the only one who is punished. Umar said, what do you mean? He said, okay, let my body talk. He opened his bag. No one ever believed. The bag was completely burnt. Umar was like shocked. He said, what is this? He said, my people, they used to take me and put me on fire. And the only thing that is extinguishing the fire is this oil that is coming from my bag. Well, it's become cool and then they will let me go. Next time like this, change your religion. And he said, never did. This is the nature of the strangers during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them what we can never reach. He protected them alive and dead. Alive and dead. A group of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went for a mission. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to do something. They were stopped by the non-believers. It's a very interesting story, very long story. So they killed some of them. Only two left. One of them is Asim and the other one is Khubayb. Asim, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not give those people, non-believers, ability to touch his body after he died. And this is what happened. The people that killed Asim, they asked someone to go bring to them his head. They want his head. Because the one, whoever can bring the head, whoever killed him, the woman that asked him what to kill him, she said, if you can bring the head, I will open the head and bring everything, remove everything inside and fill it with gold for you. Look how evil someone. So they kill him, they send someone to go bring the head, but when they go, they found something, a devil. Devil is the honey bee, the main one, is the harshest one. Allah SWT sent them in thousands or millions. They cover the body. It stayed for like an hour. And you cannot approach the body at all. So after like 1 hour, and then the bee left. They couldn't see anything. It was swallowed by the earth. The scholars, they said, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maintain your own religion, you don't compromise any part of it. Even after death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let your body to be played with by others. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect those awliya. So this is the nature of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What bada al-islamu ghariban wa sayaudu ghariban fatuba lil-ghuraba." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam started as stranger and it is going to come back like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, glory, tuba. Tuba is like a place in paradise, or a tree in paradise. Or just say blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which includes everything. Be upon who? The strangers. These three, the Prophet said, if you are to travel from the beginning of Hijrah, you will spend 100 years before reaching the end of it. So that means the greatest place you're going to achieve from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of having this attitude of being what? Gharib. What is gharib? Gharib is a stranger. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, before death, he asked you to live in this dunya like what? Gharib. Kun fi dunya ka annaka? Gharib. And by Allah, wallahi, this is the best advice someone can give you. Because as long as you believe in that this dunya is temporary, so you need advices, statements like this, to know the way you're going to live in this life. The Prophet ﷺ said, live as a stranger. Everyone knows that if I go to a place, and this is not my place, I'm not going to live there. One day I will move from this place to another place. Abu Sabi, the one who's crossing the road, you're just crossing the road, you're not going to stay in the road, you just cross and go to your destination. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, we have to live like this. Abdullah ibn Umar, the narrator of the hadith, he said, I never sleep in the night with the intention of, with the thought of waking up tomorrow. Whenever I sleep in the night, I would just put in my mind that maybe the next day I would just find myself in the grave. How many people were like this? Many, many, many people, they were like this. They were sleeping at night, they woke up, they found themselves in the grave. That's why the scholars, one of them said, كُنْ فِي الدُّجَى وَاتْلُوا الْكِتَابَ وَلَا تَنَمْ إِلَّا كَنَوْمَةِ حَائِرٍ وَالْهَانِ فَلَرُبَّمَا تَأْتِ الْمَنِيَّةُ بَغْتَةً فَتُصَابُنِ الْفُرُوشٍ إِلَى الْأَكْفَانِ. He said, my advice to you, you have to be in the night, reading Quran, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't sleep. إِلَّا كَنَوْمَةِ حَائِرٍ وَالْهَانِ. Except the sleep of someone who is in a state of, confusion. Hair is someone who is confused. Tension, someone who is in, strong pressure, cannot sleep properly. He said, be like this in the night. Or someone who is weak and sick. Someone who is sick, a sick person, normally they cannot sleep. He said, be like a sick person or someone who is weak or someone who is in a state of fear. He said, why? He said, فَلَرُبَّمَا تَأْتِ الْمَنِيَّةُ بَغْتَةً فَتُسَاكُمْ مِنْ فُرُشٍ إِلَى الْأَكْفَانِ. He said, many cases we found, death will approach someone. He was sleeping just now, but the next day he would just wake up and find himself in the grave. He said, I don't want you to be in this situation. Make sure that in your night you have some portion that you give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest loss is the one who is sleeping all the day. That's one weak hadith. Some scholars say it's authentic, but the chain of narrators according to the confirmation of Shaykh, now it is weak. But the meaning is profound. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates someone who knows everything about dunya, and he knows nothing about akhirah, and he is jifa bil layl wa himam bin nahar. He's donkey in the day, and dead body in the night. Look at our life, some people, before Fajr you see them going out. The prayers, the one who prays among some of them is the one who combined all together. Someone was saying even his grandfather also was like this. So they go to the work, they work, everything. The one who is righteous among them is the one who is going to come back and combine between Fajr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and all this in the night. Or else, in the daytime he was busy looking for dunya, and in the night coming back to the bed, like what? Dead. That's why the Prophet ﷺ called him Jifa. Jifa is something, dead animal, which is rotten, stinky. The Prophet ﷺ called this person is someone, dead person in the night, who has no benefit at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to live in this situation. You are a stranger here, and you have a job that you're supposed to do here. The reason why all the things that are halal for us is to make us comfortable. Food is halal just to maintain your strength and power and ability to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, I never created jinn for men except to worship me. So back to our own situation, this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, and that means this is how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to put this in our mind. Religion is fixed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the last hajj the Prophet ﷺ made, and he never made hajj except one week, but they call it last hajj, the farewell hajj of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atamamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam madina. Allah, wallahi, we need to pay attention to this verse. very, very attention. One of the Jews was telling Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, in the Quran, that is one verse, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse to us, we will celebrate the day. We'll make it a day of Eid, every day, whenever it comes, annually we have to celebrate. And the Muslim, we are doing nothing. At least don't celebrate, because the Prophet ﷺ did not ask you to celebrate, but apply the ayah, to the greatest ayah you can ever find. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, in this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what? I have completed for you your religion. Look here, two things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. He said, أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, I have completed for you your deen. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I have perfected for you my favor. So you have the deen and you have blessings. The first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word kamal, and the second one, at-tamam. The scholars, they are deducing some very excellent rulings here that every Muslim should remember them. They said, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word akmaltu and he did not use the same thing with the blessing? And why didn't he use that itmam with the deen? They said, because whenever something kamil, that means it's complete, it's full, it will never accept any deficiency or any increase. You can increase, you can decrease. That's why they tell you kamil. Kamil means you cannot not increase or add something. That's why there is no place for what? Innovation. The deen is kamil. Pay attention to this example. Very nice example one of the scholars was given. If you bring a cup of water, and you fill in the cup with water. This is book, not cup. You fill in the cup with water. And then some man came and add some water. One drop of water, what will happen? Some will go out. Which one is going out? The new one or the old one? The old one. And this is the issue. Wallahi, you will never introduce something new in Islam, and this thing is going to find place in Islam except after the removal of what? The Sunnah. Bid'ah comes, innovation comes, the Sunnah will go and give it place first. Because the deen is kamil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Kamil means tamam, means there is no way for something to be added in it. So when you bring something, introduce something, the Sunnah is going. I give you a sermon. Watch every bid'ah that someone brought, you will see the Sunnah is dead. On behalf of that bid'ah, that is a sunnah which is killed first, because there will be no place for this bid'ah to be established if you don't remove something. So that's why, from this verse, we know that the deen is fixed, and the system is complete, and nothing is going to be accepted by anyone. You just take the system and make use of it. And with the blessings of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, tamam. Let's say I'm teaching in a class, and I give you an exam. And in this exam, I ask you about how to, what to say when you are going out of your house. This is a question, right? What must you say when you are going out of your house? Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How many marks are we giving? 100 out of 100. Right? If you give me answer, which is what? Tamam. Right or wrong? Brother Masri came. He said, actually, when you go out of your house, the same question he is answering. You have to use your your right leg, and then you say, Bismillah, Allah, to the end of the dua. If you say this, Allah SWT is going to protect you from the evil of Shaitan, and you will be protected by Allah SWT till the time you come back. Something which the first answer did not mention. What am I going to give him? 100 or so. But which one is the best answer? The second one. That's why with the blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used the word tamam, because it can accept development. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep on. Every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you something new. But from the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that verse, he said the blessings is what? Tam. If there is no room of adding something, you understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never keep on sending the blessings, but every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with new things which we don't know. So this is the real difference between kamal and tamam. When Allah wants to talk about Islam, the scholar they said Islam is deenun kamil. What I'm trying to say is, the deen is completed. There is no way for you to add something. So that means what Allah SWT wants you to do is to take the deen which was brought by the Prophet ﷺ, completed during the farewell hajj of the Prophet ﷺ, and use it in the way the Prophet ﷺ kept it. No change, no modification, no introducing your own ideas, no interpreting any word in your own way of thinking. You have to live in the way the Prophet ﷺ left it. And this is the problem. And that's why the one who is using this way, he becomes what? He becomes the real stranger of our own error. You maintain the real deen, people, they tell you, no. You don't understand this. The Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't mean this, there's something else. Yeah. That's why many people, they are lost. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, he gave us a very excellent and beautiful good news that we are going to hear. Nowadays, you dress in the way Allah SWT wants people they are going to mock you, people that are going to talk against you, they are going to backbite you. Nowadays you stop eating riba, people they will talk, he's trying to show off that he's a rich person. Yes, we have to show. Because riba is the thing that brought destruction to this ummah, and we will never go out of it by Allah if we don't stop taking riba. Go back and see how many punishment. Even Taymiyyah was saying there is no sin that Allah SWT dealt with in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet SAW like the way he dealt with riba. Go check and see what is the sin that Allah SWT said. If you don't stop it, you have to declare war between you and Allah SWT. And that's why you can see our economy is going what? Down. And we will never, there is no barakah in the money. You get 1,000 few days, finish. Before, if you have 1,000, it's like something unbelievable. You would never hold it by your own hand. It's like a blessing to get someone asking you to hold his 1,000, just holding. You'd be proud, mashallah, Allah, he said, I was holding 1,000. But now, nothing. Small kids, if you give them, we had a competition last time. Someone was giving them money, but the level of the happiness is not that high. When we were at their own age, if you say you're going to give us 100 ringgit, it's too much beyond our own imagination. And now it becomes nothing. Why? Because the blessing, there's no blessing in the money that we are getting. And this is what Allah SWT said, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَا وَيُبِّي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Every blessing that you can imagine in the wealth, Allah SWT is going to remove it in the transaction of riba. And the Prophet Allah SWT said, there will be a time. If you don't take riba, the dust of riba is going to reach you. Many things you are doing, although you are not involved in the act of riba, but the one who dealt with it from the beginning, you are buying from him, he dealt with riba also. So alhamdulillah, between you and him is okay, but the way he got it, it is the way of riba. And look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? Dirhamu riban yakulhu rajul huwa ya'lamuhu ashaddu 'inda Allahi min 36 thaniya. He said, a woman who is, or a man, someone who is prostitute from the beginning till then, how much sins he has? You remember the hadith of that person? He spent 70 years worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, non-stop. He used to come down to city twice in a month to get food and come back. 24 hours worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sleeps little. He passed a woman, a prostitute, unfortunately. Look at the woman, and then he stayed with her 7 nights. 70 years, 7 nights. Which one is stronger? Of course, 70 years. Imagine when this person died. It's a long story. When he died, before death, he made tawbah. He repented to Allah, a very excellent repentance. But the sin that he committed for 7 nights is so strong. When you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah asked the angels to weigh his deed, the good one and the bad one. They put the good one on the scale, and they put the bad one on the scale. The bad one, which is only 7 nights, the good one, which is 70 years, the bad one, they outweighs the good one. Far away, they're heavier than them. Where's he going? Hell. And then Allah SWT told them that last night before death, he gave charity of one piece of bread. Bring the bread. They brought the bread. They put it on the good deed. Because of that bread, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls,
he calls the part of the good deed to be heavier than the evil deed. And then they took him to paradise. A very authentic hadith. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari used to tell his children, you have to always remember this. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, don't you ever belittle any kind of good deed, no matter how small it is. Wallahi, if Allah SWT wants, by just smiling at the face of your brother or your sister, Allah SWT can take this from you and take you to paradise because of this. Very simple, very small, but Allah SWT can be happy with you because of this and take you to paradise because of this. A woman, she spent her life committing prostitution, and at the end of the day, she made tawbah. What she did? She fed a dog, and Allah SWT took her to paradise because of this. شَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهَا. The Prophet said, Allah SWT turned her and he take her to paradise. And a woman, she disturbed a cat. She did not give food to the cat till it dies, and she went to hell because of this. That's why the Prophet said, sometimes he says, simple word, one word that Allah SWT is happy with, and because of it, you go to paradise. And sometimes you say, simple word, one word, Allah SWT is angry, because of it, you go to hell. Aisha radiallahu, she just looked at the Prophet and she looked at one of the wives, she said, if she talks about the beauty, she's just going to laugh at herself. People will laugh at her. Because this is one of the most beautiful wives of the Prophet. But what happened? She's short. So Aisha, she was, indirectly, wanted to talk about her. If she said she's this and that, the Prophet said, so she said, why? And very short. She just said the word short. The Prophet, he changed his face. He said, Aisha, wallahi, you said something. You see, what did she say? Short, right? He said, wallahi, you said something. If we are going to take this word, the word short, and we put it in the ocean, no one is going to use the water. It will destroy the entire ocean. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at it. And now, when you backbite, you say what? Even in front of him, I'm going to say it. Thinking that this is going to make it halal. This is what we say, right? I talk about him, and then someone will ask me, why you say this? I said, no, even in front of him, I will say this. So both of the two cases, they are bad. Whatever your brother doesn't want you to say, if you say it, you're backbiting him. If your brother used to act in different way, if you act in the same way your brother is doing, you're backbiting him also. Backbiting is not only to say something, no, even to act in the way someone is acting. Trying to make fun of him. This is also backbiting. So what I'm trying to say is like the deen, we should take it without any modification, any change. We keep it in the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept it. So now you can see, you don't need anyone to explain to you. Whatever you do, if you take the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people, they will hate you because of this. People, they will look at you differently. So what is the remedy? The remedy is, the religion is the same religion that Allah SWT gave the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it will never change till the time Allah SWT is going to inherit this earth and whomsoever found on this earth. It will never change. So that means Allah SWT wants you to be what? Patient. This is the solution of our own error. For us to achieve the great reward that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, which I'm going to mention inshallah. For you to get this reward, you have to be patient. Allah SWT told the Prophet ﷺ that whatever you see, your people they are doing to you, you are not the first one. The people that came before you, they were like this. So Allah SWT told him the story of Nuh ﷺ. 950 years he was inviting people to Islam. How many people accepted Islam? There is a narration which is saying only 4 people accept Islam. Allahumma sallam. Wallahi, if you call someone, a people, 100 years and only 100 people they accepted Islam, is too bad. But this person, 950 years, only 4 in some narrations, some narration, 80, some narration. This is the highest narration I got, 80 people. Amazingly, in his house, there were 2 people, kuffar, non-believers. And he was patient. So that's why Allah SWT said, this is the history of the people that came before you. You never knew this. You and your own people, no one knows anything about them. Allah SWT said what? Fasbir, be patient, because the final ending, final end belong to the believers. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he was patient, and his companions, they were patient. And Allah SWT asked us also to be patient, and the Prophet ﷺ said, after me, there is going to be the days of patience. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever is going to hold upon his religion, he will be like someone who is holding upon what? Fire. Imagine you take a fire and cool. How are you going to be? The Prophet said, you are like this. And by Allah, if you are truly following the Prophet these days, you will experience this. Because even in your house, you find problem. In your school problem. In environment problem. With the friend problem. If a woman is wearing the proper hijab, people they talk. Why is this? A man is dressed in a nice way, why? You don't take haram, why? You don't do many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't do them, people they will ask you why. And many people, unfortunately, they change. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you are patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you the reward of 50 companions. Imagine this big reward. 50 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're going to get the reward of 50 companions. So that means, what are you waiting for? And remember that the final end is with who? The believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never neglect you, and you will always be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the benefit of being among the righteous people. So you should maintain your attitude, and you should recall always that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whether you like it or you don't like it, you're a stranger here. The nature of your staying here is the nature of what? A strange person. Someone who is not going to stay in a place permanently. You will go one day, sooner or later. So remember the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring you back in a way which is not the way of the strangers. I mean, you couldn't be patient, you compromise all part of your deen. Why? Just because you want someone to be happy with you. They ask someone, why didn't you tell them it is haram? He said, no, I cannot tell them that this is haram because many people, they are doing it. What's this? And because of my position, I just want my position to be maintained. I can do everything. And this is the nature of many people in the working place, the schools, universities, wherever you go. Yeah, my boss wants something, I have to go with it. I can't tell him that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't want this. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they never succeeded. They never succeeded by doing what we are doing nowadays. Yeah, we have to know that Islam is fixed and it will never accept change. And we have to stop deceiving ourselves also. We have to know that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and He will call you one day and ask you about everything. So therefore, in my conclusion, this is a very big topic, and based on stories of the companions and the righteous people, and there were many. But unfortunately, Sheikh Masri gave us only a few minutes. So inshallah, I will stop here by reminding myself and my brothers and sisters, always remember the day you will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or before then, remember the day you will be kept in a place where there is no one to stay with you. Your father, your mother, your children, whoever loves you, wallahi, if you pay them everything to stay with you in the grave, they will never do it. That means the love is what? Fake. That means the love is fake. And they're trying to tell you that you should pay attention. Don't let us distract you in anything that Allah SWT wants you to do. Because of your parent, you disobey Allah SWT. Because of your husband, you disobey Allah. Because of your wife, you disobey Allah SWT. There will be a day you're going to be in the grave, and these people that you used to follow, they will never be with you at all. And who is going to stay with you? Your deed. So the best friend you have in this life is your deed. If you make it good, Allah SWT is going to make it in the form of human being, very nice and good looking, smelling nice, and come to you in the grave and stay with you, so that you will not be stranger what? Twice. You will not be alone twice. Now you are living alone. Almost alone, you're living alone. Because not many people there upon your way. When you go to the grave, this type of living is supposed to be finished. You're not going to stay alone. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send someone who is going to be posed as your own good deed to stay with you. He will say salam to you, and he will tell you that, I am your good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me in this form to come and stay with you so that you will not be alone in your grave. Allahu Akbar. And if someone is bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make the bad deed also to come and fight him in the grave. So he will be a stranger here, because although we look at him like someone who is with everyone, but as long as you are not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahi, you lost everything. So remember this day, the day you are going, because it will make it easy for you. Now everyone is forsaking you. If you know that the day will come where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be with you in the grave, now you are not alone. You just look at people, they neglect you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be always with you. And this is the ma'iyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we learned from our scholars, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with these people. And finally, remember the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make a distinction between the people of righteousness and the people of evil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to invite some people and let them stay in a place for 50,000 years. And He is going to invite other people, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them, and let them stay for a few minutes. Imagine someone will stay for 50,000 years, and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to call you because of what? You used to be a stranger, impatient, used to be patient with everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you. You never think of what is going on. You tolerate everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to compensate all this kind of effort by doing what? Putting you in a place, covering you in His own cover, where there is no one can see you, including the angels. And then He will open your book. It's going to be secret between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine this, someone is going to open his own book and read all of his tragedies in front of all of the creations, angels, human beings, jinns, and everyone. And you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to bring you and put you in a place and read for you. You're not going to read. He will read for you your mistakes. Till the time you realize that no way for you to go to paradise, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to you, "My slave, I was the one who conceived all of these tragedies. No one knows them except me. And today I'm going to close them and conceal them. I will take you to paradise. Don't worry." And the Prophet said, it's going to be just like the time you spent praying Zuhr or Asr. Allahu Akbar. So compare this and make a choice. Which one you choose? 50,000 days and few minutes or few hours. This is the time to make a decision. Be patient, like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be patient. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the strangers. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Firdausi A'la be our final destination. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us the day we're going to see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Al-Kawthar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us the day we're going to be the neighbors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Firdaus. Innahu wali dharka wa qadiru alayhi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Thank you very much. No question? Any question before we close the channel? Last announcement. Any question? No problem, inshallah. No, always you should tell them that what you find, I mean, from your scholars, that Islam is fixed. That's why I mentioned the word that Islam is fixed and it doesn't accept change. And I mentioned the verse that we have only one Islam. So either I'm practicing the Islam or you're practicing the real Islam. So what is the measurement? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا اخْتَلَتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Whenever you disagree in something, you differ with someone, you argue in something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The decision and the ruling for this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means the measurement, the way we weigh things, is to go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet and the Quran. So I said something, you said something, then we go back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the one who brought the religion to check who is following the real religion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I find you following the real religion and the real way of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I stop mine, I follow you. This is the best way of, and believe me, if you ask someone to go this, he will never continue. Because the problem is, I keep quiet and then they keep quiet, they think they defeat me and that's all. And I'm the wrong one and they're the right one. No, always go like this. The religion is not mine, it's not yours. So that means there is a root. There's a source for this religion, we have to go back to it. So you're saying that your way is right, and I'm saying that my way is right, so what is the best way? Go back to the Sunnah and the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and check. By Allah, they will never go. And they will keep quiet. And next time, they will never say it. So these days, you will see many things. The Prophet said, if you live, you will see many strange things in this life. There are some people calling upon that we just come and unite ourselves with the Christians and Buddhists and Hindus. And This one is worshiping cow, this one is worshiping snake, this one is idol, this one is worshiping himself. We just come all together in one place, unite ourselves. How can we do this? It is impossible. I say that Allah's matter is one, and this one said there are three in one. And this one is saying that cow also is Allah. And this one is saying snake is Allah. This one said he himself is Allah. How can we unite? How can we come together? It will never be, possible. So they are calling upon, it will never be possible. So you just reply to them in this way, that I believe that what I'm doing is right. You believe yours is right. So let us go back to the sources, which are Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, because we have nothing else. And by going to the Sunnah and the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will find that yes, definitely they were wrong and you were right. So this is how, inshallah, you reply to them. Just maintain your attitude. They will keep on telling you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is actually what they told him. You bring something different. Yeah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they told him that he brought something different. You also, they will keep on telling you that you bring something till the day of judgment. Because this is the attitude of anyone who hates Islam or someone who hates the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't change your attitude, just maintain your good following of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any compromise. Allahu a'lam. Next, at least make it two questions. From Ngao, from voice. No more? Okay, thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with you. Thank you for coming. Subhanallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Thanks to everybody for coming to tonight's lecture. Inshallah.